Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Put down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Coming off a 12-game night in the National Hockey League, it is game day on Hockey Central at Noon. The Winnipeg Jets against the Toronto Maple Leafs, 1-2 in the 2016 NHL Draft. Patrick Laine against Austin Matthews. What kind of show will they put on tonight from MTS Center? Pre-game show at 7:30. Puck drops just after 8 o'clock Eastern time. Welcome into Hockey Central at Noon with Darren Millard, joined today by Doug McLean and Nick Kyprios.
Welcome back, Doug. We missed you yesterday.
Apologies, boys. I got caught in an airport.
Kevin Cheveldayoff is going to join us, the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. Lots to talk about with him, both with this week and the Heritage Classic this weekend. Jacob Trouba, the team off to a 1-2 start. So Andre Pavlik as well. So we'll get into that. Matthews against Laine. We've watched kids have great starts of the season. We know what Matthews did in his first game. Laine also scored in his debut. There's 10 rookies involved between these two teams. So a lot of youth, a lot of excitement, some concern as well for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, it's funny, you're in the first couple of weeks of the season, you don't think there's must wins. This is a must win for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. You got the Toronto Maple Leafs coming in with 6 rookies, at least in their lineup. You've got to have a bit of a statement game here to get your season going here.
You're a big, strong, physical team.
Right.
Right. And now you've got the skill level of a Marner coming in, Matthews. How physical are they going to try to play here at home? And to Mac's point, trying to prove something. Do they get caught running around a little bit? Do they start taking bad penalties that we've known that they've been accustomed to in the past?
The other question for me still is with the Winnipeg Jets. I know there's a transition with kids. I know they've got some great young players there. They've got some solid veteran guys. I'm still concerned about their goaltending. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Pavlik fan. I haven't been for a few years. Hellebuyck, I know, is going to be a real good goaltender, but that's a lot on two relatively inexperienced guys. I know Matt Murray won a Stanley Cup, but I'm still concerned about their goaltending.
It's a recurring theme now around the league, by the way.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't even think that, you know, Pavlich has been completely written off here. Like, if he has a good week and a half, and they continue to kind of be hot, cold a little bit, net, pull him back up.
It's just
pull
a
him
lot.
Back up and get him back in the lineup.
It's just a lot when there's playoff expectations on a franchise, and playoff expectations now go week to week in the NHL because of the parity and the race is so tight. And that's a lot to expect from a couple of kids, and I know they're both good prospects.
The Toronto angle, it's almost like, okay, which rookie's going to be the star tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
Matthews, Marner, who steps up tonight?
Nylander, we haven't hardly talked about, and yet he's been real good. You know, he's sort of the quiet, unheralded one at this point, and he's looked real solid as well. You know, then I still look at Morgan Riley as a kid and watching him, and what's he going to be like? I'm really anxious to see tonight on the road against a desperate team how the Leafs blue line plays. You know, Anderson come back with a better performance, but I want to see how this blue line is going to react to some heavy Winnipeg forecheck tonight. So it'll be fun to watch that angle as to can they handle on the road here in Minnie, and see how they adapt to that.
And if they do get caught up Winnipeg with a few penalties here, the power play, you briefly touched on it yesterday, hasn't gotten off to a great start. And do they still continue to use that forward kind of theme? Morgan Riley's not on it. I get it. I mean, he's come a long way, but the one thing that Morgan misses is a big shot, right? He does not have that threat.
But with his mobility and agility at the blue line, does that not make up for that
shot?
No,
doesn't make up for a big shot. No,
you know,
does not. You need to have a threat back there.
I know you need a threat.
They're missing it right now.
I know you need
have it.
I know you need a threat, but I still think you need, besides the shot threat, you need that mobility threat with them. with that shot threat. We had Dion there last year, whoever was the shooter. But getting the puck through today is every bit as important as the big howitzer.
Did you just drop a we?
Yeah, I think I caught. Did you see me look at you?
We about what? The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, I've been a fan since 66. I broke the news last week when I tweeted that Dave Keon was my all-time favorite player as a kid growing up. So I was a Leafs fan. They lost me for a little while. The 22
well,
years.
Back. So it's them. It was the that was 22 them, years. And now you're back.
No,
it's
the
we.
22 years I was in the league, they lost me. And then they lost me the last five or six here.
So how did they get you back?
One four-goal performance got me back. And the fact that they retired Dave Keon's jersey. I'm on the fence. I'm not there yet, but I'm on the fence.
You just dropped a wee.
I was saying we about our power play, not the Leafs.
When you saw the banner go up, did you have a tear in your eye too?
I didn't see it go up.
You didn't see it?
No, I was just heading out the door.
You know, it's very strange. Toronto, with so much happening around between the four-goal game and the jersey retirement, they've only played two games. It feels like we're...
Well, that's because we
season.
Had to listen to Babcock every day during the World Cup. It seemed like we were listening to him talk, you know, so it made it, and Lou, and, you know, I mean, you'd see them for coffee in the morning. You just felt they've been playing for a couple
of
months.
They have three of a possible 4 points.
Yeah, good.
They're getting some production out of their rookies. I guess you're still waiting for the veterans to jump on board and start scoring some goals. JVR did score one, but it's a hard team to evaluate because so much attention has been paid to the one game and the big performance and then a jersey retirement.
And we're going to have some games where the kids don't come through. I watched my favorite player in the world, my new favorite, Davey Keon's in the past. Mm-hmm. My new favorite player is in Edmonton now. And we've watched the last couple of games where all of a sudden it's a little bit tougher treading for him out there, you know? So the kids are going to have tough games. Johnny Goudreau's having a tough time finding the net, playing hard. But so the kids will struggle at times. It's going to be fun to watch their maturation.
Mike Babcock said between discussing the Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews rivalry, kind of played it up a little bit, just talking about how you still want to be better than the other guy. Is this one game out of 82, or is this a bit of a measuring stick for both?
I don't think Patrick Laine's game is where it needs to be just yet. And to Doug's point, I mean, Austin Matthews can go through a couple tough games here moving forward just as easily as he could have the ability to score another three goals or four goals. I don't think it's there yet. I think it's got the potential down the road.
But do you think
it could happen?
Do you think
you could see good things tonight? We could see some glimpses to the future.
You don't think either player's looking at this as any type of I want to outdo that guy.
No, I don't. I think they're saying the right things publicly, and that is that it's just about preparing like we do every other game.
Except there's so many questions about it that you have to be thinking about
it. It's a great stage for Patrick Laine.
But I don't think Laine's comfortable enough with his game or where he is right now in the pecking order. I think we've seen flashes of it for sure. But I don't think he's gotten off to the start through training camp and that comfort zone, even to the degree that Austin Matthews has had up until this point. I think he's kind of fighting it a little bit.
You know what? A lot of fans don't remember Savard, Denny Savard, Doug Wickenheiser. That went for 12 years. Every time Wick and Heiser, who I happened to be coached with for a few years, every time he went into Montreal, it was a big story, and it stayed for 10, 12 years. It was 1-2. So I'll tell you why.
That was based on we got the wrong guy.
Yeah. So, you know.
Right? This is not. But Tron, you know. That's not a comparable.
It may come back that it's the wrong guy again.
Yeah. But
you never know.
That
I don't
take
see
12
that.
Years.
I don't see it. I don't, because it's not as big a discrepancy. And
well,
it's
Taylor
not,
Tyler.
It's not a French and an English. Yeah. Taylor Tyler, same thing. But here's the thing with Laine. I know you said his game's not ready.
Well, it's
maybe
just not.
I'll tell you why.
It, in many ways, it is ready. It's
right.
just, it's
but
just
I'll tell you why
comfort zone.
It's always going to be a comparison, because he may not be the all-round player that Matthews is. I don't think he will be, but I know one thing: he'll score.
He can shoot the puck.
He'll score, and I think with the fact that he scores, if he doesn't do all the all-round Taves, yeah. Tavares, Kopitar type things that Matthews may become, yeah. this guy's going to score a lot of goals.
I think he can play make too, though. I do.
Oh, you know, he's a good player. He's going to be a fun guy to watch. And the fact that they're both on Canadian teams, I think there's going to be comparisons for a while. I hope there's comparisons, because you know why? If there's comparisons, it typically means that both of them are doing really well. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's because one's good and one's bad, but Taylor and Tyler is a great one because they're both exceptional players. It's a great comparison.
Taylor Hall with a couple of goals last night.
Big
in
time.
His home.
First time I've seen him smile since he went to New Jersey.
Home opener for the New Jersey Devils in a win there. Maybe the bigger rivalry based on the Wickenheiser-Savard one will be Pierre-Luc Dubois and Jesse Puljujärvi in whether or not the Columbus Blue Jackets took the wrong guy in going
to number
three.
Do we do that with anyone but one
three
and two?
Four?
Three and four?
It's a bit of a reach.
But it's just a big reach.
Well, I know some people in Columbus will be looking at it very hard and heavily. So I hope for both teams' sake that they both become stars.
And the Canadian team.
Columbus go 0-4 again like they did last year, beginning of last year. You see their schedule?
Todd Richards is hoping they
do.
You
see their schedule?
Well, they got to beat Chicago Saturday night, because then they go on the road for 4 or 5.
Oh, they just got to beat Chicago.
Well,
okay.
At least they got one win before they head out west.
What do you think?
They could go 07, 08, 09.
They're not making a coaching change.
That's for sure.
Let's not go there.
Jeff Rimmer, I hope you're okay.
The idea
we know he's not.
Of holding a grudge, though, Todd Richards, do you think he does?
Like, I've lived it.
Well, I know
grudges.
You do. I know, but I don't classify you as the... The
okay.
poster child of
I'm telling
normalcy.
You right now, there's nobody on the face of the earth
yes.
that doesn't.
Yes.
Some
oh,
are
no.
a little more
soured.
Some are a little more verbal
right
about
to your
it.
Grave.
Yeah. I've had play-by-play guys that get fired that hold grudges against their old team. It's not just coaches.
Oh, well, I love the odd time I'll hear from a coach and he's watching his former team go through a bit of a rut, and he'll just send a note and go, "Guess I wasn't that bad of a coach after all."
And really, that new system isn't working, he'll say. That I heard about for the first 10
would
days
of the coach.
Would
that worked out west in Canada?
There's oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe, we know which coach you're talking
maybe.
About.
Who's that? I don't know.
Oh, let it marinate,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
That's a Tim McAuliffe drop in there. The Leafs play.
Oh yes, I
for
know.
For their first 5 games.
Was he worried about the diet of the media?
Yes. Okay, I got it.
I was ambiguous for a reason.
I'm just telling you. I'm telling in fairness to the person you're talking about. He's no different than anybody else.
No,
I'll tell
no,
you
no,
that.
No. He's right there with
no,
all
I,
of us.
I exactly. And the guy before him goes through the same thing.
Exactly.
Let's. This idea that the Toronto Maple Leafs with this young team, but play four of their first five on the road, as a coach, as a player, I keep hearing, okay, it's good, it's bonding, it's an opportunity. But then you look at what Arizona is going to go through in this long road trip. Carolina starting on a road trip, and they're up against it all of a sudden. Did you like this type of schedule?
I'd rather be at home. Because you can put yourself in such a hole that you can't get out of it. So I would rather it be a half and half. You know, home, away, home for two, away for two. I'd rather that. But these teams like Anaheim, you start on the road for a number of games and you can put yourself in a tough situation.
Don't overemphasize that. I think you still gotta look at your roster and really figure out what you have. And whether or not you want to blame a road trip early in the schedule or not.
No, but Toronto's so right? unique with the six kids. And
yeah, but look, have you seen Arizona's lineup and their rookies? And
congratulations right? to Dylan Strome.
You know, yes. And it's good on him, but you're still not sure if he's in the right place right now. I mean, you're going to explore it and just see if he can make up believers out of everybody that's where he belongs. But, you know, Krause in the lineup, right? And I think he's on the fourth line. I mean, you're sitting there going, okay, and he's got another year of eligibility in junior, does he not?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there going, okay, should he be in the lineup?
Yeah.
Is he the right? Like, how many rookies? We've always, even when we look at Toronto now, we're sitting there going, okay, how many is too many?
Yeah.
And before you start looking at the road trip and saying whether or not it's a good or bad thing, you got to look at your roster.
Just want to slide over. Kevin's on the phone here.
Whether or not it's going to hold this early in the season.
We're looking at 10 rookies in the lineup tonight in Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet with the Winnipeg Jets and the Toronto Maple Leafs battling in MTS Center. Here's the general manager of the Winnipeg Jets, Kevin Cheveldayoff. It's a big week with the Heritage Classic, the alumni game coming up this weekend. Where do you find the balance, Kevin, between the celebration of Winnipeg hockey and the fact that that you guys need a win?
Well, I think for me personally, it's the sights are clearly on the win all the time, on the Jets and the jobs at hand. You try to stay focused, and I think from a team perspective, you enjoy what's going on, but there's no doubt in what your task at hand is. But from a city perspective, it's a fantastic weekend. We had a Moose game last night against Edmonton's affiliate. Play Toronto tonight. We have another Moose game tomorrow. Obviously the alumni with the storied teams of the Oilers coming in and so many great past Winnipeg Jets, players that have played here and enjoyed the city. I think it's just a wonderful celebration for hockey and certainly for the city of Winnipeg.
When can we have you on sometime that there's not a storm swirling around your head? Like if it's not the Byfuglien contract, it's Kane wants to be traded because he didn't wear a sweatsuit on the bus. I mean, give me a break, Chevy. Can't you get this under control so we can talk about the celebration of hockey?
Sometimes it's maybe it's good to have the waters a little choppy.
Hey, everybody seems to be, especially Darren Millard here, because he thinks everybody's going to watch him more tonight by building up this Matthews versus Laine. But where is it for you, and where specifically is Laine? I said earlier in the show that I don't think his comfort zone's anywhere near where you probably would feel if you scored four goals in your first game. But, I mean, there's no question that he is where he should be.
Well, he scored, obviously, in his first game. He got a goal and an assist and was a big contributor to our late comeback win against Carolina. And for him, I think he felt really, really good about, that last game. He played 19 minutes with Scheifele and Wheeler. Unfortunately, us losing Brian Little, we lose a little flexibility on how we can, juggle the lines a little bit. We've got, obviously, Line A. We've got Kyle Connor, who's a rookie 19-year-old, who had a great college, year last year. And Nikolai Ehlers is that ripe old age of 20. So, again, we have three young players that, you're looking for some stability in the key position at center to help these guys. And right now, Scheifele is the veteran in that regard. And hopefully we'll get a little back here in short order to add some stability to the lineup. But Patrick's been really good as far as working with the coaches. I think the days, off days, I mean the game, the days away from the practice days is what I'm trying to say, are real important for him as well. And he's worked quite a bit with the staff there from a video perspective and an on-ice perspective to gain that comfort level as time goes on.
Chevy, I've had guys hold out on me before over contract disputes. You hate it. It's an aggravation. It's hard on your team. It's hard on your fans. It's hard on the GM. It's hard on the player. What's the best way to bring this to a head? The easiest way? I mean, is it not, come on, Trouba, come back and play, sign, and we'll work to move you? Is that conversation happening with Kurt Overhart?
Again, I think now you're asking me to get into the conversations that do or do not transpire. And we've said, and we're going to be consistent from the beginning, that I'm really not going to comment on this situation with regards to where it's at or where it could go. We're going to do what's right for the organization, and rest assured, there's been lots of work on this. So from a team perspective, you focus on what you have at hand here. And again, it's an unfortunate business type of situation that you just deal with.
Okay, but well, if you then keep losing, if you keep struggling,
well, then there's leverage.
Then that's not because your players are saying, let's get something for this guy, or does that enter in?
I think if the player's perspective And just judging by, you know, the conversations that went on at the beginning of training camp, I think the players understand, you know, these situations. They obviously have at different points in time either witnessed it, seen it, or been a part of it. And, you know, they understand the business.
Okay, so let's not speak of Trouba in this specific situation, but let's just talk about your philosophy here, because there's two schools of thought. And Doug has mentioned this over the air the last little while, is that you can't let anybody come in and just dictate when he wants to leave, and what a bad message it would send Winnipeg fans if anybody
or any
wanted
fans
to just get up and leave, especially when we control those rights. And then there's the other school of thought that says there and goes, listen, I don't want anybody to be on my team that doesn't want to be there. Not 1 second longer. So why don't I just go out there? And if you want to leave so badly, if anybody wants to walk into my office and tell me that they don't want to play here and that they don't want to be here, then guess what? I don't want them to be in here any longer either.
But you
still have to make the right deal.
I'm
going to go out there and I'll make the right deal. So where are you on that? You know,
I'll let you guys debate on what's right or, you know, not. You know, obviously, you know, again, there's certainly probably lots of opinions there. But at the end of the day, I'm going to make the decision that I feel is right for the Winnipeg Jets organization.
Goaltender went down last night. Mike Smith had to be helped off the ice. You have three goaltenders, and your veteran is in the minors. How are you getting calls on Andre?
Well, I think at this time of the year, there's lots of management calls, but there's lots of mitigating factors that come into play with respect to veteran players that have contracts and you know, the different things. Salary cap is a different world, so I think everyone has to look at things in their own light you know, again, we'll address those situations as it goes. Right now, we're you know, Hellebuck and Hutchison are the ones that we're going to give an opportunity here to push this young group forward.
How would you rate your goaltending at this early stage of the game, of the season?
Well, we're 1-2, and you know, certainly I don't think a goalie's stole the game for us yet, but I would rate it as a work in progress.
And Pavlik's been great so far in terms of the way he's handled it. A good start on the weekend. Is it out of the, you know, is it out in left field that he could be back up with the club at some point?
You know, again, I think that's premature. But, you know, like any player that's with the, you know, the Moose organization right now, they're part of the Jets organization. And again, there's you need, you know, that stability and depth in an organization to be successful.
Chevy, where did you learn this? Like, seriously, you are the best stick. You were a
terrible stick handler. Like,
you were a terrible stick handler.
You butchered it when
like,
you used
I remember
to play.
I remember him playing. He couldn't stick handle a little bit. Now he's a great stick handler.
He's a first-round pick.
I know, but he was a bad stick handler.
That's school. That's why, you know.
My goodness.
Yeah, you're not dumping and chasing here.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh, no, he's been dumping and chasing.
Did they give you cue cards before you came on our show?
That's my Corsi on this
oh man, yeah. Your puck possession's bad.
Oh,
no, he's Patrick Kane right now.
No.
where should Nick go this weekend? I've given him a couple of tips on
Marlboro Club. That's where Doug McLean told me to go.
Is that still there?
Oh my goodness!
I used to hang out there with Freddie Olesen.
Phil
Housley.
It's gonna be a fun weekend. You're gonna be pulled in a lot of different directions.
He's on the road.
Are you okay? Like, every time we have you on, I wonder if it's the last time we're going to chat with you.
Yeah, no. You talking to me?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm fine.
Okay. It's a celebration. You guys have, just before we go, the bridging the gap between the different eras of the Winnipeg Jets is something that you guys have really concentrated on here in the last month.
Well, it's again, I think it's all part of the plan. From an organization standpoint, we wanted to establish, you know, our brand, and obviously the Jets coming back to Winnipeg was a big move. But you, when you have such a, you know, a different type of path coming in, obviously the old Winnipeg Jets franchises aren't necessarily the ones that the statistics and the history books will say are the ones that you know, that they've moved on to, you know, to Arizona or the likes. But from a city perspective, that's how we wanted to embrace it. We wanted to bring back the people that, you know, again, were big parts of this city and big parts of what hockey was all about in Winnipeg. And it takes time to do it right. And we have the Hall of Fame, you know, luncheon coming on tomorrow, obviously the alumni games. And I don't know if there could have been a greater opponent to celebrate this than with the Edmonton Oilers. And certainly with the history that the two franchises had in the past and what we hope to be a great, you know, future against a rivalry with Edmonton and some young franchises hoping to emerge in the future.
And if Kiprios gets a cross-check at some point during the course of the weekend, I'm pretty sure I know who it comes from.
Well, I'm a stick handler.
Please, I hope Eddie Olczyk's not going to yell that out again. When we win the cup, we're bringing it back.
It's coming back to Winnipeg!
Yeah, let's hope that's not there. And Dancing, what's his name?
Dancing Gabe will be there.
Dancing Gabe.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this, and enjoy
luck,
the weekend.
Eddie.
It's going to be a great one.
Thanks for the update on this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for giving us like a ton of
that
information.
Was great that we brought you on for that
great
update
scoops.
On the weekend.
I'm glad I can help. You guys' ratings are good enough. You don't need me.
Great scoops by Chevy.
Be good,
wow.
Kevin. There he goes, Kevin Cheveldayoff, the general
manager.
There is
10 minutes. We will never get back on Hockey Central at noon.
He is good, though.
Yeah. Good at what?
At
not
stick
saying
handling.
Anything.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have more guests that don't say anything.
What would you do with Trouba, Doug?
What would I do with Trouba? I mean, first of all, I don't want him sitting out the whole year. I really don't really want him on my team. I would try to talk sense into the fact that
make a great deal right now.
Yeah, we've got to come up with a good trade partner here somehow. Yep. and move him.
And move him. Get him out. Get him out ASAP.
And trust me on this. Trouba's camp can say all they want. They can say all they want, and they can have all.
They're not worried about the December 1st deadline.
They better be worried about December 1st. That is not
smart.
Well,
there's meaning that there's lots of time between
because they are worried about it. And if they're saying they're not
pretty quick,
they're not being accurate because you can't have Trouba sit out an entire year.
You know what? You know why they're worried?
Back.
You know why they're worried? Because the general manager that's holding the cards here is Cheveldayoff,
right?
Who showed with the Evander Kane situation
that took 3 years.
It's patience.
I know. The problem is the patience wanes
if
you don't win.
Right?
You've got to win.
Maybe Evander Kane should have been out a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is not
Buffalo?
This is not Dran in Tampa Bay. This isn't Hamonic in the island. This is a guy that doesn't want to be there.
And he's unsigned.
Okay? Doesn't want to be there.
Well, Dran didn't want to be there.
No, he wanted to be there. He absolutely wanted to be there. That's not even, you can't even compare it. He wanted to be there. He just wanted ice time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As soon as he got ice time, best place to play.
But he didn't want to be there because he wasn't getting ice time.
Right.
He walked away from the team.
He wanted to be in Tampa Bay.
But
that's the difference.
That's
a major difference.
This guy
doesn't want to be in Winnipeg.
All I'm telling you.
You're not buying the right side.
Oh, my gosh. But, he doesn't want to be in Winnipeg.
But, Nick, the other thing is.
I don't care what the reason is. He doesn't want to be there.
And don't think that this is not a major aggravation for Kurt Overhart and Trouba and also for Kevin Cheveldayoff. This is a pressure situation. You don't want this hanging over your franchise for days and months. You don't want this. And the December 1st thing is I love that because it makes people.
If you're not signed, signed by December 1st, you're not playing.
You're not playing the rest of the year. That's a big move.
You know, and it doesn't set a precedent. It really doesn't. I know a ton of people are saying, well, what kind of message are you sending to people? We've played in, you know, we've seen great markets. I've been in a top original six team. I've played on a tough market. 99% of the guys just want to play. There's always going to be some small window of percentage that somebody's not happy for.
But
get them out.
But here's
get them out. This isn't,
you know what?
This isn't 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Kevin is lucky to a degree.
There's too many guys.
In most markets, they favor the player, the media, and the fans. And
here's why. If there's a hint that he doesn't want to play there because it's Winnipeg.
Well, that's what. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But that's why he's lucky, because in most markets, it's, hey, they side with the player. And Chevy right now is headed good in a couple of situations because it is Winnipeg. It's new. It's all this. And it's pride, the pride of Winnipeg and Manitoba. But usually it goes the other way, and it can put extreme pressure on your organization.
Yeah. It's very rare that you get a guy that just has this type of demand. It doesn't happen very often.
And how long have we heard this for a couple of years, guys? Does this surprise us? How long ago did we hear Trouba didn't want to be there? Come on, this has been out there 2 or 3 years.
I just don't understand. You're in the National Hockey League.
Totally.
Does it really matter where you play?
I don't get it.
We're going to talk about the Montreal Canadiens in just a little bit. They won their home opener last night by a shutout. But I want to show you this hit for the TV audience. And for those listening on the radio, remind yourself. Get Siri to send you a reminder to check it out. Orlov on Matt Duchene last night in the Washington-Colorado game, which was nasty. Like, there was fights all over the place. But Orlov goes down low and flips Duchene up and over. Now, that's, to some, was a low bridge hit. It was a clean hit in my mind, but it's close to the line.
Do you remember Leo Boivin?
Just don't like those hits. So much can go wrong.
But that was clean.
That was a clean hit.
That was a lucky
that
hit.
That was a...
So should that, because that hit is so difficult to pull off, and more times than not, it causes either an injury or is a penalty. Should that type of hit, even if it's clean, be taken out of the game?
It's a lost art in the game. It's a lost art. In the old days, when the skaters were a lot slower and lumbering, you could make the perfect hit check, and it happened all the
time. That was in mid-ice, too.
In the 60s, yeah. I just think it's so rare that you get lucky and make that right hit. 99% of the time, you're taking out the knees on a low bridge, and you hate it. And it ends people's careers.
Hips, Charlie horses.
So I don't like it. I loved it because it worked. But most of the time, it doesn't work, and it's dangerous. See, and the art of the hip check is gone.
Unfortunately, I don't know if you can outlaw that hit.
No, you probably can.
Because it's just, it's too gray around other hits. And then it'll be too controversial.
And when we figure out the
police it,
when we figure out the shootout rule and the penalty shot, like the Troche, then I would move to this. But I would get that sorted out first.
We'll show you that
too. I couldn't
too.
Figure that one out.
Vincent Trocheck and the shootout last night.
You guys must have just gone crazy watching that in your highlights last night.
Yes, yes, it was amazing.
We're gonna get out of here. Montreal Canadiens took their team picture today. We'll tell you the interesting part of that, as well as get into their home opener and what happened in Edmonton and Calgary. Vancouver has yet to lead in regulation, but they're 3-0. Plus the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah, I don't know whether we're going to get to it all. I kind of doubt it.
And Hockey Central at noon. And the fan numbers in Ottawa last night?
Crazy. It's Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on the NHL Network. And if you miss any of the show, check out our podcast on iTunes.
Now, prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
From downtown Toronto, this is Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, with Nick Kiprios and Doug McLean on this Wednesday game day, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. The Winnipeg Jets and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Toronto tries to go over 500. Winnipeg trying to get back to 2-2 tonight as the celebration in Winnipeg goes into this weekend with the alumni game on Saturday and the Heritage Classic Edmonton and Winnipeg on Sunday. Nick Kiprios will be there, part of the panel, as things get going on that front. Also have Detroit and the New York Rangers tonight, one of the others. Well, there's two games tonight in the National Hockey League. Some quick hitters here. The shootout goal. First of all, Tampa and Florida played a great, entertaining game last night. The goal to tie it by Steven Stamkos with a skate on the goal line from the side of the net, how he ever, with 5 seconds to go, so you're not getting a second chance at that, was an unbelievable shot for his second of the year. But then Vincent Trocheck in the shootout seemed to lose control of the puck, got it back. Bishop gave up on it, which I don't blame him at all. Cooper was down the hallway, John Cooper, because he thought the game was over.
Referees were waving it off.
And then they looked at it again.
Both of them.
Yep. they looked at it again and forward progress never
earlier
never
with shootouts. They were really adamant that there was no chance that you could stop or pull a puck back.
Okay, so
and now I think they've just completely.
That is a tough one.
So you missed.
They're massaging it now.
Okay, so
they
just
want
a minute.
Goals.
Do you
they not
missed,
want goals.
You yes. miss the shot.
Loses control of the puck.
Loses control. You miss the shot. You no. swiff at it, essentially.
Oh, my God.
You whiff at it. You whiff at it.
There goes a bottle of water.
Why
that's why there's no water on
water?
The desk.
That's not
why,
allowed water
that's
on the
why
desk.
It should, and that's why it shouldn't be there.
So you just,
so I whiffed
just
it like,
mishandled.
So I did like Trocheck did. So anyhow, the puck goes sideways. He recovers it.
Yeah.
And shoots it. Like, I would have bet anything that that would not have counted.
We got to tie up his arms next show.
Wear my boxing gloves.
Sit
on
your
show.
Hands, Zachary.
I'm sorry. I would have. I thought it was a no goal. So obviously the rule says if the puck continues to go forward, it's a good goal.
At least we don't have any electronics up here. No plug-ins.
Did
or anything.
The puck continue to go forward?
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't. Shoot it and miss it or get a rebound. He just lost control of it.
It didn't look like it continued to go forward, did it? I thought it went sideways.
I don't know.
It was a weird one.
It was very. But obviously they broke it down.
He whiffed on it a little bit, but technically did he lose control out of it? Off of it?
Sure.
Yes.
No, but not to the not
total control.
No, the puck stood there. It was the stick that whiffed. The puck didn't take off on him.
I give Trocheck credit here for sticking with it and shooting the puck in.
And he was adamant it was it was a good goal.
Mike Smith had to be helped off the ice. Montreal Canadiens, you learned. You learned from last year, and you went out and got Al Montoya, and it's paid off with a couple of wins early on here. And teams like L.A., teams like Arizona. Now, Domingue was great last year, but...
He's a kid.
Yeah.
Here, we talked about it on this show so many times about the role backups were playing in the NHL and the critical roles they're playing. General managers made it a priority this summer to make sure they had the right backup goaltender, whether it was Reimer on a crazy deal for me, but they did it, and they got him, and he's a pretty good goalie. And Chad Johnson. And,
Gustafson.
And everywhere teams had it as a priority. And I'm telling you, the teams that didn't are in a bind right now.
Looked like a groin to me. No?
I thought either, knee.
I thought, and some people think it might be a high ankle. So the question is how serious it is, and the goalie market just became hot. L.A. have 7 goals scored on them last night. This happens. You've got the Winnipeg situation. All of a sudden, you got some goalie.
How about Dallas? Been criticized for carrying that much salary between the two goaltenders. Right. I wonder if they flip one of those guys. The Montreal Canadiens took their team picture today. Carey Price was in it. He's practiced as well today. Lost 7 to 8 pounds because of the flu. Hoping he's going to be able to play tomorrow. But 15 new faces in that
That's
team
amazing.
Picture. 15.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I what lost a turnover.
I lost 7 pounds in the last 10 days, and I'm working tonight.
Where did you lose those? At the airport?
I've been going hard. No pizza.
You're planes, trains, and automobiles.
Low carbs.
You're
really?
Like Neil Page. Yeah. Remember him?
Yes. Calgary Flames win. Glenn Gullitson gets his first win as the Flames coach. Monahan ties Jerome Iginla for the franchise lead with the 6th overtime goal. Monahan's been in the league for 10 minutes. He's got 6 overtime goals.
And he and Goudreau put on a show in overtime.
Matthew Tkachuk, the first career goal.
On a great move.
Yeah.
On a great move. That was almost identical to the Memorial Cup winning goal. Almost the identical move.
Isn't that what Colby said last night?
Yeah, Colby picked it out.
Did you steal that from him and try to put it in this show?
I would have until you corrected me there. Until you caught me. And then I quickly gave credit.
Yes.
But if you didn't pipe up,
yes.
No credit.
The Edmonton Oilers make good on their practice on the mandatory day off, and they pick up a win.
I don't know if it's worth the aggravation.
The practice?
I don't know if it's worth the aggravation. You got the PA, you got the grievances, you got, you know.
Too early in the season.
And Cam Talbot was great. Good luck to Cam and his wife today as the Twins come.
Okay, Todd McLellan. Mm-hmm. Did I miss something his 7 years in San Jose where he never snapped? Or just we didn't see him?
This is new.
What?
This is new, I think.
Like, this is...
Right. He is, like...
He's become the new Torts.
He's got a little I'm at the end of my rope kind of feel to him, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
And I get it. I mean, it losing sucks.
Yeah.
Over the last few years. I get it.
But I'd never noticed this
one
Todd.
In particular. This one
caught
me off guard.
Going after Benoit Pouliot and the
yes,
and then he starts him in the opening lineup last night.
Yeah, this one caught me off guard.
So yeah, I you know you like Todd, but I mean, just I know it's tough when you lose. It's as my PR guy used to tell me when I was walking from the dressing room to the podium.
Count to three.
Count to ten. We're gonna count to ten on the way out, and Doug, please, Doug. Okay, let's recount to 10.
Now 10 becomes 20.
And backwards. The Oilers have won 3 of 4. Yeah. A lot of drama going on for
seriously.
A team that's won 3 of 4.
Seriously.
Oh, and Cam Talbot saved the game with
his huge
one.
He had a great bounce back game.
The final seconds.
What about 11,000 fans in Ottawa, guys? Like, seriously.
He
loves the attendance.
Loves the attendance.
I do, because I used to worry about it every day of the week.
You know who's really happy that you just said that?
Who?
The Florida Panthers.
Yes. Yes.
Because it takes the attention off of that.
And I guarantee you, all those empty seats in Florida weren't empty that I saw in their home opener. They were just in the lounge having sushi.
Doug's in an attendance pool. Yes. Not on a
you know why?
Pool.
Because I worried about it every day of the week when I was at President and GM, and
can,
worried
can we give
about
some
it.
Props to Vancouver here.
Yeah, big time.
Come on,
3-0.
They have not led in regulation. They've chased
what are the
every
odds
game.
What are the odds of that?
And they're 3-0.
You don't lead and yet you win.
But as producer Matt pointed out,
I just had a drink without spilling it.
Producer Matt points out, and this is so typical going after the Vancouver Canucks success. Like it is that they will lose all the tiebreakers because they don't have. The regulation wins.
I know.
Calgary was incredible a couple of years ago with their comebacks, and you're sitting there going, okay, it's going to catch up to them. It's going to catch up to them, and then made the playoffs.
Then it caught up the next year.
3-0. Marian Hossa, congratulations. 500 goals in the National Hockey League. The way they're scoring last night, you might have thought that he was going to get 500 in a game because that Chicago team, that was a great game.
And you think about the Hossa the trades he's been involved with and how he's outlasted every big name guy he was traded for, whether it was Atlanta, whether it was Ottawa, he's outlasted them all.
How many Stanley Cup finals
he's
been to?
And he's a great player. He's a great player.
Was he traded?
He's the boss.
He was traded for Colby?
No.
Or with Colby?
Colby was in the deal.
He was a throw-in.
No, he wasn't a throw-in, but he was in the Esposito deal. Was a big part of that trade. Not Phil. I forget his first name, but it was an Esposito.
What? You seriously can't remember his
And I remember watching him in junior.
Okay, what's his name?
Angelo Esposito.
Yes. The LA Kings. Oh, just Patrick in Chicago. Great game last night. Mm. Our buddy Patrick in Chicago with his linemates Panarin and Nizhmov.
He can't say we, but you can say our.
Our buddy?
Our buddy.
But that's a player.
It's kind of slippery slope.
He's talking about a team.
And you're a journalist. You got to be objective.
Okay.
Big hello, Pat.
Vancouver. Vancouver 3-0. And then you see what's going on with the LA Kings and Jeff Zatkoff. I feel sorry for Jeff Zatkoff. Did he ask for any of this? No.
Ask for it.
Jonathan Quick had a procedure. Not surgery, but a procedure.
You want every opportunity to play when you're up at that level, Darren.
Okay.
You do. You don't want to hide.
Hiding's not bad.
No, it's not. It's not right. Okay? You should know that.
Who are you talking about hiding?
No, he's just like...
I said Jeff Zatkoff never asked for this. He's
deep down, every player wants somebody ahead of him to get hurt so you can go in and play.
Yes.
What a great...
It's to your point.
And when you're in the minors, you're cheering against the big team. I get it.
I know it. There. Dirty little secrets out, Darren.
We have a few hours to get ready for Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey pregame show at 7:30 Eastern Time. The Jets against the Maple Leafs. We might have the studio cleaned up by then.
I'm excited about that.
Can we get a clean up in the radio studio?
You're not drinking any more of my water without a
bib. Your iPad just short-circuited it.